Thank you. Fear is a village. All my panic has been painted as a young girl. She knows more of the world than me. It's in her jacket pocket. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, this is Annie Mae, the Neo Soul Songstress, and you are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to J-Pop Central here on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. This is DJ Lee. And as you can hear, I've got some very good songs lined up for you. It's going to be another funky hour. But first of all, we're going to have Hikari no Disco by Capsule. This one came out in 2016.
Dr. Ruth Westheimer. And if you listen to WRCT Pittsburgh, you know that in most cases, size does not matter.
This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, we discuss how Project 2025 is rapidly degrading democracy by centralizing power in the hands of a few and undermining our time-honored system of checks and balances.
Our guest is Lauren Stiller Ricklin, the Executive Director of Lawyers Defending American Democracy. Her organization is dedicated to pushing back against threats to the Constitution and the rule of law.
We'll then check in with our own co-host, Stephen Rohde, who offers an analysis to confront the executive orders Donald Trump has issued, seeking to dismantle the Department of Education and control the curriculum for students at all levels. Stay with us.
I'm Heidi Boghossian, New York City attorney and activist.
I'm Maria Hall, Los Angeles civil rights lawyer.
I'm Stephen Rohde, retired civil rights lawyer and author on issues of civil liberties.
The early days of the Trump administration have ushered in a series of assertive executive orders that are rapidly reshaping the federal landscape. While new administrations typically bring change, most Americans expect such shifts to respect the rule of law. However, Project 2025 diverges from legal norms, challenging birthright citizenship, dismantling crucial federal agencies like USAID without congressional approval, and attempting to criminalize support for lawful diversity and anti-bias initiatives. Today's guest is Lauren Stiller Riclean, Executive Director of Lawyers Defending American Democracy. She argues that the media has inadequately covered the full scope of Project 2025's goals. While the boldness of presidential actions has shocked many, these plans were outlined in the project's mandate for leadership. Trump's executive orders threaten protections for workers and marginalized communities, while undermining checks and balances that ensure government accountability. Through these executive orders, the administration seems intent on reshaping the federal government to align with conservative ideals at the expense of civil rights and environmental protections. The goal seems to centralize presidential power and erase decades of legal safeguards against discrimination and environmental harm. We're delighted to welcome Lauren Stiller Riclean to the show. An author of four books and editor of the 2023 anthology, Her Honor, Stories of Challenge and Triumph from Women Judges, she is also an active member of the American Bar Association. She serves as vice chair of the Advisory Commission to the Task Force on American Democracy, vice chair of the Advisory Council to the DEI Center, and co-chair of the Women's Caucus. Lauren, welcome to Law and Disorder.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Let's start by talking about Project 2025. What is it? What is its mission? And what is its impact on American governance?
Sure. We do have the next couple of days to go through this, right? Basically, Project 2025, it is a policy blueprint that claims to have been written for a conservative presidency. But in fact, it is a deeply extremist 900-page manifesto. It was published in April of 23. It states clearly it's a plan to dismantle the administrative state. They use those words. And it brought together more than 100 self-described, again, conservative groups to develop this plan to radically restructure the federal government. I keep saying I use the word conservative in quotes because, conservative is one thing. This isn't conservative. It's truly extremist. And through it, there is the through line of the administrative state as something that they use as a pejorative to denigrate workers who perform the functions of the federal government. And when we consider what those functions include, national defense, law enforcement, the protection of public health and the environment, the postal service, public works, public transportation, air transportation, as planes seem to be dropping out of skies of late. So this is what the federal workforce protects and does, and they claim it's the administrative state that has to be destroyed. And what Project 2025 does was create the blueprint. It emphasizes speed, and it sets up the plan for the president to immediately implement all of these policies. And one of the ways they did that was through vetting thousands of resumes to identify and interview people who could be immediately hired to do this work. And in the first month, we are seeing the results of that effort.
Lauren, in your recent article, behind Trump's executive orders, understanding Project 2025's master plan, you mentioned the media's shocked response to Trump's executive orders. Why do you think the press seemed caught off guard, by and large?
Well, you know, the problem is they shouldn't have been. Project 2025 described its plans in meticulous detail well in advance. But the problem is the media never fully covered the details of the plan to upend government from the outset. They covered some of the, you know, some of the language that may be more troubling, but they never got into the weeds. And the plan offers the weeds and the details. So here's a quote of their intent to dismantle the federal government. They say in Project 2025, our goal is to assemble an army of aligned, vetted, trained, and prepared conservatives to go to work on day one to deconstruct the administrative state. In other words, to destroy the government structure as we know it. The media's second significant failing is that it views all these actions through a partisan lens. So there was an article, in my article rather, I gave this quote that was an example of how the media treats this. This was a quote from the Washington, headline from the Washington Post. It said, many of Trump's orders are likely to be challenged in court by Democrats and liberal advocacy groups. Well, that sentence is as treacherous to the rule of law as many of the executive orders are. When the media characterizes those who are challenging these edicts as party-affiliated or liberal advocacy groups, what they're doing is they're diminishing the underlying threats to the rule of law, and they're relegating these legitimate challenges to mere partisanship. I also think it's a problem that the legacy media in particular, they insist on treating Trump like a normal candidate or office holder when he's really neither of these. Data shows that over his first term, he lied 30,573 times. Now, if somebody lies to you over and over and over again, at some point, especially when you're the media, you have to stop reporting the words without question or fact-checking, or at least putting them in some kind of context.